This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female-identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
The Guardian level.
From now on, you do as I do.
You may the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Herring, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, my name is Moni, and with me today is my lovely, glorious, 1 year older, but still looking amazing, gorgeous, and wonderful co-host, Amanda! I applauded. Hi, Amanda.
I felt like there was going to be applause or a drum roll coming there. I'm really glad that I waited because I got that sense that something was coming. And it wasn't me this time. Could... Hey-o.
Like, what's she talking about? Hey, again.
Oh, gosh.
I'm so glad Tom is over with you now. As are you, apparently. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. Can't believe I said that, but heyo, here
well,
we are.
I mean, Tom can't either, I guess. But he's in the garden, so that's fine. He will never find out.
He probably won't leave.
Which is fine.
It's fine. It's fine. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I have a struggle to get back into the work groove after being off. And I feel like the spring tiredness is starting to get to me. But other than that, it's like it has been Easter. Everything's over now. We had a lot of chocolate. Clearly still eating those. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else much going on. Yeah. How's you? How was your...
My Easter was quiet. On Easter Sunday, I actually played the dragon. Nice. Surprised. And I made like a shepherd's pie for dinner.
What's
funny
a shepherd's
pie? It's like minced lamb. I use vegan beef with like peas and carrots and mashed potato on top. Because I was in the grocery store with mom on... I don't actually know. I was like, what are we doing for Easter dinner? And she's like, oh, I think I might just get like a frozen dinner for one. And I was like, there's three of us in the house.
Wow. Wow.
So I think that a shepherd's pie was a little bit better than a frozen dinner for one.
I guess.
Yeah. It was good. Mum and Tom ate the leftovers of that last night. I gave a slice to my aunt to take home to visit on Monday.
That sounds great. Yeah. I really want that now. But I just want everything. It was bad. But
you anyway. Never eat before.
I know. And then I'm like, it's so late already, but I still haven't eaten. But I'm not organized enough to prepare to eat first. Because by the time I realize we're almost ready to record, I'm like, no time to make any food now.
And then you just
now.
Shoved your face with all the chocolate bananas.
Exactly. That's what happens. Yeah. That's exactly what happens.
Eat them up.
No, it's like not great. It was already not great on definitely great on a podcast.
I did wake up with a really sore throat.
No.
So I'm quite sad about that considering that I'm going in 2 days.
Don't
so
get been, sick before you go away.
I know. I'm really hoping, this is pathetic, I'm really hoping that I have a pine kernel stuck in the back of my throat and that it will like free itself. But I've been like downing the lemon in lots of water. Ease it. I did take a COVID test. It's negative, so I don't think I have COVID, and I feel fine other than the really sore throat.
Fuck that. Don't get sick. You're not allowed. This is official declaration, and you're not allowed to get sick before you're going away on, like, holidays and shit.
I'm so excited.
Wow.
No. I'm excited.
I'm dancing. It's really great.
Except for everybody in chat. Where you had
just tried to. I just tried to distract from the fact that
it's fine.
So... Let's do it. What are we talking about today?
We are going to talk about the documentary Hysterical, which came out in 2021, but within the last week or so on Disney Plus.
But
and
bless
Hysterical,
VPNs.
Bless them. Hysterical is an honest and hilarious backstage pass into the lives of some of stand-up comedy's most boundary-breaking women, exploring the hard-fought journey to become the voice of their generation and their gender.
Yeah. So we both watched it. You watched it today and now today. And it was really, like, I really enjoyed it. But equally, I was like, what are we going to talk about? Because it's basically is like this magnifying glass on the same issue that like is happening in every industry, I feel like, which is that obviously women weren't in the industry for ages. Then there were only a couple of women that like made their name in it. All the men were treating women as if they weren't capable of being in the industry, and women are not funny. And I'm like,
and women are just sex objects.
Exactly. Fuck off, everyone. And they were all called like pretty, petite, and whatever. Like my little lady, whatever. When like you could see like parts of the introductions when they introduced the female from like, and they were like, my little blah, 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 and the little lady, whatever. And and then basically how they, in essence, then also there were not enough rooms, not enough spots available for like female comedian stand-up stuff, and they like shows couldn't give them two slots after another, so there always had to be a dick in between us
because whichever comedian that was like, you can't have vag vag, but you can have dick 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 dick, but you can't have dick dick vag vag dick dick. It's got to be like dick vag dick vag dick 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 dick.
So like, it was really, it's just funny. Generally was really entertaining to watch. No, Tom Phil. But it was really entertaining to watch because of the jokes, I feel like, and also to see, it kind of gives you a bit of an insight into also a bit of how comedy kind of works, because part of it was like their position in the industry, and then parts of it was like how they became comedians and comics, and how they like fell on that path, which is often like real life stories and trauma and make it fun, right?
Like, how common is it to make a joke out of your trauma, right? Like, it's such a good coping mechanism. And from what they, at least the ones in the documentary were saying, the kids were saying, is that, like, so many of them had a background of trauma, and this was their way of dealing.
Yeah.
And then to enter this industry and to be faced with, like, sexism, misogyny, and, like, all these glass ceilings that they can't get anywhere near, like, it's just really loading more trauma onto them.
Yeah.
Which makes for even better comedy material, which then makes for things that can be a little bit more taboo and groundbreaking to talk about.
Yeah.
It's like, there was some comedians up there that were saying things that were, you know, like, comedy is so much more than just, like, he farted, ha ha ha. Like, especially with female comics.
But
like,
yes and no,
but, like, I think especially with female comics, there's a lot of political commentary going on.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot. And it's fascinating to see the reception that these women are getting when they do those political stunts. Not stunts, but, what's the word? Stand-ups, gigs, shows.
Yeah.
And like how there was a big part of the documentary about Kathy Griffin. I don't know how many years ago it was now, like maybe 5, 7, 8-ish. She did a photo shoot where she was holding up like a beheaded Donald Trump head. And like that was at the time, like it was so controversial, but like what kind of, and she got canceled and all this shit. It was,
she said that was wild because she said there were like 50 shows she had booked, and when that photo shoot came out, she was basically in the middle of it, and immediately within 12 hours, like all 25 shows after got canceled, all of them. That was just so, that would not have happened with, that didn't even happen with fucking R. Kelly, right?
Right.
Like, people were still going to his fucking concerts despite all the rape allegations and despite all the information that was already out there for him, but it took forever to even get him out of like concert halls and shit. And immediately, you post this one picture of a woman doing something questionable, like critical, and immediately they throw her out, right?
And she made a good point as well that there's a like a death metal band called GWAR, and their like imagery in their concerts is like murdering Trump as well, and like they can just carry on and with their concerts.
She, like, I didn't know about examples. You mean me?
Like, I didn't know that there were other artists that had these controversial takes about Donald Trump, and like showcasing his murder and beheading and whatever. Like, because I feel they didn't like make media attention.
Exactly, they don't make attention enough, and at the same time, I feel like it was also Because a bunch of them, like, what they named like three or four of them, and I just remember like one just had like an image in the back of the stage, right? So you could just see his head, and like it was a drawing. So I was like, okay. One had like the body and the head, and apparently they were getting rid of his head during it so you could see the axe. And another band had like this entire puppet, which they basically killed on the show, right? And you could see like the act of it as well. And I'm like, that's just like even next level brutal than having an image on its own when you like can see somebody doing it. I feel obviously each to its own is like questionable, but it's also like a political statement in that moment. But like seeing someone being violent actively, I feel like brings an entirely an addition to that already like brutal spin on it, right? Mm-hmm. Makes it even more real and active in a way.
Definitely. I think that there's such a double standard for that is really apparent when something like that comes up. Like, I know that a lot of the other artists that they showcased, they weren't, but there's still a double standard. And like women being the quote unquote newcomers to an industry, which I think that's bullshit because female Canadians have been around for a really long time, just quite gatekept. But like they're held to a completely different standard. And this is a little tangent, but I'm seeing the same thing in like very recent news with, and I know that it's something that we're not, I don't want to focus on this today. I'm just talking about double standards. The thing that happened with like Will Smith and Chris Rock at the Oscars, and within the last 24, 48 hours of recording, Ezra Miller has been arrested for violence as well. And you can see the media reaction is like, we have to cancel Will Smith, but Ezra Miller, he needs some help. Where
also like, Ezra Miller is like, didn't it take like forever to like do something after this happened? Was it like last week or longer ago that this was actually the incident that he's now arrested for happened?
Yeah, like it was something like that. I didn't look too far into it because I was like, standard bullshit today, do it. But like this is at least his second count of like public violence
that has
ended up in something. Plus there was that video of him like talking about how he's going to kill the Nazi stuff. Remember that one? Doesn't matter. It was a few months ago. But like he kind of has his track record of being an outwardly violent person. Whereas like Will Smith does one thing and it's like, oh, can't associate with Will Smith anymore. Cancel him. Bullshit. He doesn't exist anymore. Also, it's like Ezra Miller. Right, it's like,
because he's black. That's why it's
because
happening.
He's black. Yeah. Right. And Ezra Miller is like, oh, poor little white boy. You know? Oh, thank you, Liz. Sorry, I'm using the wrong pronouns for
thanks,
Ezra.
Thanks, Liz.
Ezra Miller, poor little white person. Like, they just need a little bit of support and mental health help. And, like, I'm not saying that they don't.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that they're not being held to the same standard.
Yeah, I mean, equally, there have been a lot of violent white in the academy who have never been canned, but like Will Smith.
And I think that we are kind of planning on an episode about this in the future, like where we can deep dive into it. But it was just this, like, this double standard is coming up. So, and it's so apparent and it's me so angry because I'm like, I don't even know what I'm like frustrated.
Oh, 100. And I mean, this entire document very much in a lot of things, right? And how like women in comedy double standard, how much they perform, how good they perform, like that, how critical people are of them when they are on stage for the first time, and how they have to work so much harder to like win people and sometimes especially like men over because women can't do this because it's like just men can. And one said that women can be, they're funny men and they're funny women, right? So like
and one of the comedians was saying how like when she went on stage, and I think like a few of the other, like they had the same experience, like the men in the audience that weren't there by choice, like they were kind of starting with their arms crossed like this is, and then by the end of the show, like they said how they witnessed a body language transition on these men, and at the end of the show, like during meet and greets, they were often the first in line saying like, I didn't expect this to be hilarious and it was so good, like you're amazing.
I didn't want to be here but it was so good. The thing that just kept so much in my head, and that is the thing that was most memorable for me in this documentary, was when, I actually looked up her and followed her because one of them was in a room where also Harvey Weinstein, like they were also like moving then onto like the, can I call it rape culture in comedy, because like there is like
the Me Too
and
movement.
Yeah, the Me Too. And one of them, I forgot.
Was
Kelly
it Carmen Lynch?
Kelly Bachman. was in a room and had to go on the stage where Harvey Weinstein was at as well. And instead of not saying anything, she basically like mentioned, right? Like she mentioned, mm-hmm. she made like a dig at him for that. And also then, and people booed her out, right? She was standing there in a room of people and she started to mention it and she just went up the stage and said, "This is going to be awkward. I'm a comic and I'm not supposed to talk about this, about the elephant in the room." And like, mm-hmm. and then he was there and freely like went through with it and also then basically said, like, as someone who has also experienced shit that these women have gone through, she just wants to say, fuck you and stuff. And people booed her before and then after, like, they applauded her and shit. And I'm just like, I just was so amazed by her. Because and a lot of other comedians were like, they couldn't have done it, right? And they messaged her immediately afterwards and like, "You changed, like, the way I do comedy, because spoke up for some, like, against something like this wankhead and stuff." And it was just so fascinating to see it because they showed it as well on the so good.
Yeah, and I think things like that is changing because it's bringing so much more to it. Like, it's like I say, it's no longer just like fart jokes, or I don't know why I just keep coming back to that, but like, it's no longer just something like that. It's like there's so much, I almost want to say there's so much more at stake, because now that we're talking about this more, like, why not bring it into the act? Why not, like, laugh about the collective trauma that we're all going through, you know? And one of them, one of the younger comedians was saying in a group, she was saying how in, like, a group with veteran comedians, like, you know, saying, so, like, this has always been this way? Like, they always treat you women like this? Like, and they were like, yeah, it's just how it's done. And they were like, but why? Like, why don't we change it? And, like, for the veteran comedians going through, like, 70s, 80s, 90s, like, it was just not something that they did. It was because this was the culture. This was the norm. And it's up to these this new generation of comedians to be like, actually, no, this isn't right. Like, let's change the culture.
What I love mostly about this is that they tried to, and that's, like, in essence, that's how, I guess, the patriarchy works as well, and how the system tries to keep women small is by dividing them and by putting them against each other. But as soon as they started to band together and, like, work together and, like, go to each other's shows and, like, supporting each other, that also changed a lot for them in the industry, right? So I feel this is just another time of, like, displaying how much stronger you are collaborate instead of...
Definitely.
And especially as women, it's like, we need to work together instead of against.
Because I can totally see, like, if you've been told, trying to break into the comedy circuit, that there's only space for two women on the show, you're going to compete against the other women. I mean,
that was, right? Exactly. That was, because it didn't give you any more.
Exactly. So, like, women will compete against each other. Women will be bitchy to each other and be like, you know what? No, this is my space. Like, yeah. I want to be the only one of two vaginas up here, you know? But, like, as soon as they're starting to talk about this and be like, why is it like this? Like, does it have to be just two women? No, it doesn't. Like, okay, let's work together and figure out how we can, I don't know, create more inclusivity and everything.
Yeah.
Be more well-rounded.
I mean, in general, I feel needs to be way more. Because,
absolutely.
Well, that documentary now focuses on women. Like, there was no trans reports.
No, it was cis women, the document.
And also, there aren't really a lot, well, not big media comics out there, but not on, like, on bigs.
One thing, just going back to what I was saying there about, like, there being only spots. There was one that they were having, like, this really posh kind of, but there was, like, this fancy kind of comedian dinner, and they, like, were just filling all the slots. And then by the end of it, when they had the lineup, they were like, it's all women. And, like, that's just how it happened. Like, there wasn't one man in the show. And, like, that it was just based on the quality of the show and the quality of the performer, and it had nothing to do with the gender applying. And I just think women are funny.
That's all I've got. So, like,
at least that's not even true, well, money.
But that's the only thing that I don't like. I don't like lots of things about me, but at least my humor I like. You know, that's where I'm like, at least I'm funny, you know? Can't take that away from me. You are
very funny. So, money stand up.
I honestly have been considering this for ages. Like, all at least contemplating about it, but we don't have, like, these stand-up comedy shows. Like, definitely not anywhere near I am. And I never written any jokes. Stand-up comedy
on Twitch.
But I've never written any jokes, so that's the other thing. I feel like I would need to get into the groove of being able to write jokes. I feel like I have a good banter, but mm-hmm. not necessarily, like, writing a good amount of... Because that's a lot of, like, writing and storytelling, right? And that's, I don't know if that's how I function. Or that's how my humor functions. No way to
know
until you
try.
I know.
Find out. Fuck around and find out.
Fuck yeah, but I don't know how to, like, maybe I need to find like a beat up, like, what is it called? No. Do that. But
let's
yeah.
find a course.
Well, just like a workshop or something comedy. Where you can be, you know, where you can get in the groove of it, because I'm always mm-hmm. like really helpless with am I doing this? At the beginning, I'm helpless with everything. Like, I'm just like, how could I start this? How can I, like, I just don't know where to start. And sometimes I hold my hands for a second until they mm-hmm. push me over the ledge. So, but yeah. then there's no, something totally. That always often comes in head. Where people have already commented on the fact that you do tell me.
I usually bust a gut laughing.
But that's because you know me. It's different.
Like, yes and no. Because I remember, like, 5-6 years ago when we first met, you know, like...
You're not funny anymore, but you were funny then.
No, not anymore. No. I actually just think you're a dick. But then I thought you were really funny.
I know. Mm-hmm. Maybe. If somebody has, like, pointers on how to get, like, right, like... You know, thingies, comedy yeah. thingies.
Like a comedy workshop.
Yeah, something like that. Good. Like, people do, a like, writing workshop. Retreats or, like, writing workshops or whatever. So I'm like, there must be something mm-hmm. like comedy workshop.
Yeah.
But maybe it's also, like, yeah, improv stuff. But improv, I've been at an improv, like, I filmed at an improv workshop, but that was, I feel like I'm not witty you can't tell me do now and then expect something
yourself. I would actually love to do some improv classes just to practice that side of my personality, because I feel like so many times, even like especially in like Dungeons and Dragons or something, which is basically improv, like it comes up and I'm like, I don't know what to do right now.
Yeah. And we filmed it because I do like video reach with a social scientist who was my lecturer at U. And they still like mm-hmm. help her film these documentaries. And she, that I always have to do with learning and the last one we did was thing about intergenerational learning. And we have been at like poetry slams where people wrote together like there were different generations of people and they wrote together and they had a group, and there were also improv where there was intergenerational, like young ones and middle-aged ones and older and they were all like writing and improvising together, and it's just really fun to watch and really cool. But yeah, I think they would enjoy that actually, because mm-hmm. it's like this combination writing stuff. Anyway, it's hysterical.
Tangent, but let's back burner that,
yeah,
like foreburner, but not this foreburner. Yeah. Like that's an after the show kind of.
Yes,
we're gonna look into that. Geek Herring does funny stuff.
Yeah. Maybe could that be a stream? Anyway, hysterical the documentary. Oh god.
Yes. Yeah. Do you think? And I don't know if this is the. Do you think that, and I'm not asking if women are unfunny, because we know that women are fucking hilarious. Do you think that some of the jokes that were showcased yesterday and some of the jokes are too crass? I don't either.
Like, no, why would
they? The reason I bring this up is that I was watching this documentary yesterday with my mom and Tom. He fell asleep. He did wake up. But he mom, wakes up early, I could,
so he's...
yeah, give him a bye-ball. Mom was like, I could hear her sighs of... indignation, like she would give like these little like sounds of disgust about like what some of these comedians were saying, and especially like I would laugh and I would hear her be like about it at the same time. And then there was one, actually it was Ali Wong was up, and she was talking about how like the differences between male comedians and female comedians and giving birth, and how like a male comedian afterwards, after like his wife gives birth, is up on stage and is, oh yeah, you know, aren't kids the fucking worst? And like, you know, they're just puke machine. The poor, like his poor wife or girlfriend or whatever is at home, like dealing with this snotty, you know, 3-day-old baby, you know? And he's up there getting laughs because, oh, aren't kids the fuck? Am I frozen?
No.
Okay. Okay. And then like a female comedian, because Ali Wong at the time was heavily pregnant, and was saying, you know, how a female comedian, like the woman is at home, you know, with nipple pads and like an ice diaper, like to heal like her poor ripped open badge and like all this stuff. And mom was like, oh, I guess I forgot to laugh. And I was like, okay. So like, I think that's great. I think we should have more humor about like what women 100%. Go through.
100%.
Absolutely. But I'm wondering, like, is it a generational thing that like somebody my mom's age doesn't find that funny, whereas we're like, we need more comedy like this.
A 100. I do think it's a generation, because if you think about it, and if you like all these conversations, this generation, like my knowledge of like pregnancy and children, you have them. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? But it's like, it's not that my mother or my sister-in-law who, when, I mean, I was 17 when my nephew was born. So I was already fucking old enough to like, no shit. Like, none of them said anything about horrible giving birth and how much they suffered afterwards and how painful it is. It was just something that, like, I knew they kind of cut her because, or it ripped up like the dam or some shit, but it wasn't ever like this open conversation about how horrible it is, right? Whereas my friends all, when they got babies, like they were all like, "Word!" And obviously I know that there is a difference because they are my friends and they tell me other things, right? But at the same time, I feel like nobody talks about this. Like nobody says, because it's also kind of taboo to speak about, because getting children is the best thing ever and bringing them into the world is so wonderful. So you can't even say anything bad about this ever. And so obviously... Mm-hmm. They never spoke about it, let alone have a joke about it. So I feel that definitely must be some generational thing. Jinx in chat says, we couldn't say the word period on TV when I was... See, so I feel like that was all... A lot of it was like part of that, where it wasn't talked about. It was like an absolute to speak about it. And now people speak about it and women speak about it. It's not fun. And not everything is like great and dandy and woohoo all this. And just because...
Yeah, we're not all flowers and rainbows and butterflies.
Yeah. And it's at the same time, I feel it's often... A bit of it has to do with the fact that people have such an incapability of accepting the two things through it. Because you can love your children and like to be a mother or a parent and equally hate having children. Like, you know, because like you can love your kids and you can still wish you were still single and childless. But that doesn't mean you love your kids any less. That just means that life is calm. And I feel a lot of this is not, and it's still in so many areas, a lot of that, a lot of the time, this is not allowed, right? You can't like see both sides of the story. It needs to be either this or that, but it can't ever be like gray. And that's always like, you can't have like yes or maybe or whatever. It always needs to be one or the other. And also, you can't be sad and happy at the same time, but you can. Right? You can. And so I feel like, yeah. Also, Jinx says, and so many men my age wouldn't buy women's products. Yeah.
Yeah, I just really want to say, in line with Jinx saying, like, there was a show that Mom and I were watching, and they said something, they were talking about, oh, that's disgusting. No, it was the period tax on removing the tax for products.
Okay. Anyways,
and they were talking about the period tax. And she was like, oh, that's disgusting. Like, what is? Why would they call it that? Like, why do they have to be so crass about it? I was like, what? Period.
Isn't that like the medical description of what the fuck is going on?
Well, it's a menstrual, really like medical, but I was like, what would you rather it called? She was like, I don't know, your friend. I was
like, friend.
Because that's what we used to call it. You know, your friend. Is your friend all this stuff? But like, I do think that there is a lot of generational taboo and like how the patriarchy has basically described how women should experience their experiences.
And I mean, they also said this new generation documentary that you have to be ladylike, right? You can be funny, but you need to be ladylike about it. And then there is like, and I feel that when your mom is like annoyed by how these comedians joke about things, that's not very ladylike or like innocent or whatever. So that just falls into this category.
I think comedy has always been on that borderline of like pushing the boundaries and seeing how far you can go, right? Like, even with male comedians, only I feel like many male comedians' jokes are just sexist, disgusting. So it, like, women have always been, female comedians have always been pushing the boundaries, like Margaret Cho and Kathy Griffin. And like, they also showcase female comedians from like the 40s, 50s, 60s. Like there was one on there, I can't remember her name. It was a black woman from like his 50s, 60s. I'm sure exactly what generation. But they, now. Like for her to do comedy, they needed her. Her act was like, would wear a bonk yourself look and talk older, because it's always so funny when an old crass for a middle-aged woman to say it, or a younger woman, like it was not lady. And like that, so that became her act. But like, why did she have to put an act on like that in the first place? And that was one of the points that they were making.
Yeah, I feel it was, it's really interesting to watch, even though it's like, but it's that, but that's the thing, right? We have the same issues in so many areas. It's not like, and add to that with being on the road, like being in a room constantly forced in an industry that's like dominated by men, obviously. It's like, and life on stage and like being out late and all shit like that. That's just coming, it's just an equal pressure on the women comedians out there, right? Mm-hmm. So I get that this is obviously brutal in a lot of ways. And sometimes, obviously, sometimes more brutal than like having an office job that's stopped by men. Not that that's great, but what I mean is like, you are in this area and this, in this dark area where like people get drunk maybe during your show, and then they get more, lose all boundaries that they already didn't have, and get like way more inappropriate than you would potentially be in an office. Not that people don't get inappropriate, but like the tendency of people getting more inappropriate with more alcohol intake is what's happening.
And I think like historically women have been faced with two choices. They can either become part of that boys club, a gatekeeper for other women trying to come up behind them, or not succeed in the industry. And I think like that's changing now. The narrative is changing. And it was the comedian Fortune Femster was saying how Chelsea Handler really like had her hand back bringing this, like the other female comedians along with her. And like Chelsea Handler is not the only one. Like I think Margaret Cho has been instrumental in this as well. And we're like really talking and encouraging other female behind them, like help them up the ladder.
Yeah.
You know, you see it sometimes in corporate, but also sometimes you just see the women at the top who are just like, no, I made way here on my own. You're on your own too. And like really contributing to that patriarchal society. And like one of the comedians, I actually can't remember which one it was saying how like she actually left her home comedy club because of how bullied she was by the ones there. And like, she couldn't make it. And you know, that was it. You either become one of the boys, one of the bullies, or you leave.
That's why always collaboration over because it makes so no important. Sense. Competing makes no sense. Like to me, competing in no area in my life makes sense. So it doesn't. It also makes no sense for me, in, especially like in work. There's enough for everyone to go around. Like why would I need to sit off and not have come with me?
Especially in comedy, like you're not gonna have the same experiences to then tell the same jokes. So there is space for everyone.
But I feel like, do you think that this way of using your story as comedy is something more recent? Do you think men used to do it as much as women, potentially?
I mean, I do think that men have always done it in comedy, like you story, maybe not like their traumas or anything. Like, I think that that's maybe something. I don't even think that it's new, because I mean, we've got Margaret Cho back in the 90s, like making jokes about vagina and like her experiences as like a woman. And like, she was groundbreaking, and like some people loved her and other people were like, oh, Margaret Cho. Whereas like Margaret Cho was awesome, you know? And it's the same with Kathy Griffith, you know, like there are women who have always been using their own experiences and traumas in comedy. And men are also using their own experiences, the thing that happened to them that day, and turned it into a joke. And here's my funny punchline. There you go, money. That's how you.
That's comedy. But nothing happened to me. I work from home. I found this weird meme on the internet.
And this is my really funny, relevant punchline, but I'm ching.
But I'm ching. Oh god.
But like men do it too. They just don't necessarily talk about how their penis is itchy.
Don't necessarily talk about how their penis is itchy.
Or other common men problems. Problems men have. Itchy penises must be up there.
I don't know. Why do men always need so much room when he's sitting somewhere? I don't think that they're, you know, Nobody has that.
I thought that this balls. Was going to be the lead up to.
See? It's not.
Why do men always need so much room to sit down because they spread their legs and they have big balls?
That's not funny. It's just fucking annoying. Keep your legs fucking.
Ba-dum-ching.
Joke. Maybe it gets funnier if you put like a drum roll or like a ba-dum to it. Try. I have them. There we go. Was it funnier now?
Was it funnier? Because I didn't hear it.
I don't think so. I fold my legs most of the time. So. And no, but you're not sitting next to me in a place I find really annoying. I just generally hate building can take up more space. I'm fat. I should be allowed to space, but I'm sitting here like this, right? I don't want to insult anyone. I can't put my arms or my elbows on the armrest that's exactly made for this exact purpose just so I don't offend anyone that's sitting next to me while the person next to me is sitting like this as if like he has like bees have stung his balls and they grew to like a meter of the diameter or whatever. It's not what's happening. I can see it. So... Get fucked and put your legs together.
Next time it happens, be like, can I get you some ice or something for your swollen balls?
Can try that in July.
They must be really big and swollen if you need that much space for them. Would you like some ice? Some acetaminophen? Yeah, so actually we did end up talking quite a lot about Hysterical. Do you have any other anything else that you want to say about it?
No, I feel just watch is quite cool, and you might find a lot of, because I did, you might find a lot of comedians that you might want to check out now, because that's what happened to me.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I only heard of a handful of the comedians that were in the documentary, so I'll definitely have to, especially like some of them have Netflix shows and I'm like, really? I didn't even notice that.
I know.
But I don't tend to watch a lot of comedy.
Yeah, me neither, but at the same time,
maybe that needs to change.
Yeah, that needs to change. I had the same thought. I'm like, I'm actually not following a lot of comedy, but maybe I should. Because I enjoy it when I find one that I like really resonate. But if I don't check them out, then I don't know if it resonates.
So yeah, that's our final thoughts. Watch it. Watch Hysterical. Watch.
That's it. That's it for this week.
See you in 2 weeks for another amazing episode of Geek Herring.
Bye.
Bye.
If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.